number 7. Ducey versus Ashcroft.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Judge Coffey, Judge Ripple, Judge Williams, Counsel for the Office of Immigration Litigation. My name is Stephen Berman. I'm representing the petitioners, Treparim and Atafite Ducey. This matter comes before the Court on petition for review of the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals and the Immigration Court. The Board of Immigration Appeals and the Immigration Court denied the Ducey family's application for asylum. At issue before the Court is whether the immigration judge and the Board applied the correct legal standard to determining whether petitioner suffered past persecution. Petitioners contend that they were subjected to substantial economic harm, and the Immigration Court did not cite that as the standard. However, that is the correct standard under this Court's precedent. The facts are as follows. The lead petitioner, Treparim Ducey, is a 50-year-old journalist. He was the editor at the Radio Pristina, a facility that housed also the television station. In 1990, after the Serbian regime imposed direct rule over Kosovo, petitioner appeared at work one day and was barred from entry by the guard at the door. Shortly thereafter, 800 of his fellow employees, all Albanians, were dismissed, except for a handful for public relations purposes. The Immigration Court, by the way, found all of the testimony credible. At this point in time, with the mass firings of Albanian ethnics, the petitioner was reduced to trying to find any way he could imagine to make a living. He worked at a restaurant. He sent free stories to the international press. Other people similarly situated, university professors and other intellectuals, they were reduced to being street vendors, trying to sell anything they could find out in the open-air market. There was a massive, deliberate economic imposition on Albanian ethnics during this period of time.
And how does he tie that, then, given the broad way in which people in those various categories were denied their prior employment? How does he show that he was fired as a result of his statements on the air?
Our contention is he was fired for being Albanian. He says he was fired for his statements on the air as well. He was fired before the rest of them, and he did make statements on the air that the regime found objectionable. But following that, 800 of his other colleagues were terminated, and at that time, in the record, in the state report, the State Department report, it states there was a long history of targeted asset stripping, mismanagement by the Yugoslav federal and Serbian authorities, leaving the economy in a poor position before there was even any military conflict in 1999. It's evident from the record that there was a broad-based termination of enormous numbers of Albanian ethnics to make life intolerable for them so they would leave the country willingly. Of course, when they didn't do that, we know in 1999 the Serbian regime decided to do it by force, rounding them up and deporting them in massive numbers across the borders of Macedonia and Albania. In the meantime, when the petitioners were in Albania, it was merely severe economic mistreatment that the government was using to drive them out, and they did. They left. They left the country in 1994, and they came to the United States. They applied for asylum in 99 on the eve of the conflict in that country. Now, that issue is whether the immigration court applied the correct standard. Was the economic harm, did that meet the definition of past persecution? If it did, if a petitioner shows past persecution, the burden of proof shifts to the government, to the Department of Homeland Security, to show by a preponderance of the evidence that the petitioners can safely return. Okay, the court found that petitioners didn't show past persecution. The judge said as follows. He said on page 52 of the certified record, said, had no other alternatives been available, that could constitute persecution. He said, although the loss of one's job is certainly an event with a substantial impact on the individual, it doesn't rise to the level of persecution. Why? Only if there were no other alternatives. That's the law that the judge stated. That is, it's that position that this court rejected in the matter of Borca in 1996. When the immigration court and the board argued that a person needs to show that they had no economic opportunities for economic harm to be considered persecution. This court said that's not the standard. An applicant only needs to show a substantial economic disadvantage. And the court in Borca reversed the Board of Immigration Appeals decision and returned the case. This year...
Why don't you address the Caprick versus Ashcroft case?
Thank you. Yes.
Which talks about merely losing one's job does not constitute persecution.
Excellent. Thank you, Your Honor, and I'll do that. This court in Caprick said that Caprick, quote-unquote, need not have demonstrated that he was locked out of every possible job. That's not the legal standard. That's what this court said in Caprick this year. The immigration judge said he needs to show he had no other alternatives. That's not the law, and Caprick says that that is not the law. Had the judge applied the law correctly, the judge would have found that there was a substantial economic harm. He said that it was quote unquote, has a substantial impact on the individual and his family. And even if he weren't to find that, the court has not applied the law correctly. And this court should reverse the judge's decision and remand it if this court finds that there is a question whether the harm was sufficient.
Well, didn't Ducey, in his own testimony, indicate that he was able to find employment after he was fired?
Yes, he worked at a restaurant, Your Honor.
Right. He was not a journalist, and I understand that, but is the law that there's a guarantee you're able to go back to the same position, or is it more, are you able to find employment, period?
The standard's not that you need to be able to find employment, period. If an entire profession, in addition to numerous other professions, that all of the Albanians are fired, and they can find, if you want to find a job as a busboy in a restaurant, if you want to be a street peddler, you can do that. That's not good enough. If they're terminated on a massive level like that, that's substantial economic harm. We submit that meets the standard in Borca. If this court finds otherwise, we still would suggest the case ought to be remanded for the judge to decide, did we meet the standard? Was this harm sufficient, and apply the correct standard? As this court stated earlier, if the jury's instructions are not correct, the law is not good, the case has got to be returned with the correct instructions. The judge has got to apply the correct law, and that's what should happen in this case, Your Honor. If I may reserve for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Thankful Vanderstar. I represent the Attorney General of the United States in this matter. Your Honor, turning to the issue of whether or not Mr. Ducey suffered past persecution, it is the government's position that the evidence in the record simply does not compel the conclusion that the harm that he suffered, losing his job and not being able to find paid employment as a journalist after that, rises to the level of persecution. Now, there was some discussion with opposing counsel regarding substantial economic harm. And it is the government's position that the petitioner simply did not submit enough evidence to indicate that he suffered substantial economic harm. He did testify that he found work in a restaurant. And certainly that's not the work that he would have preferred to have been doing, but it was work. He did not testify at all, give any evidence into the record regarding how much he was paid, how he was able to support himself and his wife, where they lived, how they got food, how they were able to pay for their electricity, their telephone. There was no evidence in the record regarding what kind of economic harm he suffered. Simply that he lost his job And he lost his job because the radio station was closed down. It was not him specifically that was targeted for this. And that he then had to go work in a restaurant. He was able to find work as a journalist, unpaid, but he was able to continue that job that he enjoyed doing and that he was trained for. So it is the government's position that the evidence simply does not compel the conclusion that the harm that he suffered rises to the level of persecution. Persecution is an extreme concept, and while the overall picture of conditions that counsel painted for the court is certainly disturbing and distressing about the massive economic harms and deprivations that were going on in the country, what we need to look at is specifically the petitioner in this case and whether he suffered substantial economic harm.
And so how do you interpret CAFRIC, our case?
Your Honor, I apologize to the court. I'm not familiar with that case. It does, from what I heard in the previous argument, it does sound that really the standard is, was there substantial economic harm?
Do you want time to reply to that?
I would certainly be glad to file something with the court addressing that case.
All right, 2 weeks from this date.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I'll also serve a copy on the opposing counsel, please.
Of course, Your Honor. But in any event, this court has held many times in many cases that the concept of persecution is extreme and that it must be shocking to the conscience and it must go above and beyond simple harm, simple discrimination. There are cases where surveillance and questioning and threats by the secret police and falsification of records in order to derail educational and employment opportunities do not constitute persecution. This court has found no persecution where somebody lost her job and was detained. And here let me point out that the petitioner was never detained, never arrested, never physically harmed. He did testify that he had been sentenced to prison for allegedly being a separatist, but that someone was able to come forward and testify in his favor, and so he was never made to serve that sentence. So there simply is no past persecution here. Then moving on to the issue of whether or not the petitioner has a well-founded fear of future persecution, the petitioner makes much of the fact that because there was past persecution, the burden should have shifted to the government to rebut the issue of whether or not he had a well-founded fear of persecution. And it is the government's position that because no past persecution was established, that presumption of a well-founded fear of persecution did not arise, and therefore the burden did not need to be shifted to the government.
What about this evidence that he speaks of the three or four individuals who were journalists who were killed, and his thought or his position that he would be in that kind of circumstance should he return?
Well, Your Honor, in order to address that, I'd like to raise at this point the government's waiver argument, which is that because petitioner in his opening brief did not argue the issue of well-founded fear in terms of it being his burden to prove it, that issue is waived and that this court cannot review the question of whether or not the petitioner has a well-founded fear of persecution. In any event, if this court were to find that it could review that question, there was ample evidence in the record that the immigration judge relied on in finding that that petitioner does not have a well-founded fear of future persecution. And the murders of these three individuals, while certainly unfortunate and it is understandable that they would cause concern for the petitioners, those are isolated incidents, three individuals in an entire country. Petitioner had some dealings
Wait a minute. This is Kosovo?
Yes.
Isolated incidents? Three individuals?
Well,
the whole country? Nobody else has been killed over there. That's your position?
These particular incidents on which he relies are the only three specific incidents of killing that he put forward in evidence. Of course,
that's a little bit more accurate, yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. But those incidents are not sufficiently connected to the petitioner in order to give rise to a well-founded fear of persecution. Partly, Your Honors, what we have here is we have a country in turmoil. And case law abounds throughout this country that simply conditions of strife and civil unrest in a country do not give rise to a well-founded fear of persecution. There needs to be some objective basis for the individual petitioner to believe that he specifically faces persecution on account of one of the five protected statutorily protected grounds in the statute. The immigration judge made several findings to determine that the petitioner did not have a well-founded fear of persecution. Specifically, the immigration judge found that numerous radio and television stations are now in operation, indicating that journalism is a profession that the petitioner could probably rejoin, and that although some journalists have been intimidated and refused entry into certain political parties and that sort of thing, that there has been no specific targeting, according to the State Department reports, for harm of journalists. Furthermore, the immigration judge found that the opinions that the petitioner gave when he was a journalist, when he was a commentator on the radio, are now the opinions of most of the people in Kosovo and of the government, in fact, that there needs to be a separate state, and that, in fact, the petitioner has not served as a journalist for 12 years. And so however somebody might have been interested in him, that interest surely would have faded over the last 12 years. But again, Your Honors, the petitioner has waived.
I hear that argument in the Balkans. It always surprises me that the Balkans seems to be a place where people remember grudges for a very long time. Isn't that the whole problem over there?
Well, Your Honor, certainly that is a general picture that we have of the situation over there. But there's no evidence in the record to indicate that anyone specifically held a grudge against the petitioner. Petitioner testified about how his family, who still live there, and how they have said, oh, don't come back, you shouldn't come back. But there was no evidence in the record regarding anyone's looking for you, anyone has targeted anyone else in the family because of what the petitioner had been doing there. It was more that it's a difficult place to live. But in any event, the petitioner has waived the issue of whether or not he established that he has a well-founded fear of persecution by failing to raise that argument in his brief to this court.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
Does he reach time? All right.
2 minutes,
Your Honor. Your Honor, very briefly, the substantial evidence test, the respondent has repeatedly stated substantial evidence supports the judge's analysis. The judge's analysis was wrong. It was the wrong law. He didn't cite the law correctly. The judge needs to analyze the facts citing the correct law, and the matter has to be remanded. Now, the fact may support respondent's position if this case is remanded. If there is past persecution, respondent may be able to show there was a change in country's conditions, and they may not, but that's for the trier of fact once the correct law has been applied.
Well, what about the waiver? You want to respond to the waiver argument on the fear of future persecution?
Sure. We're not arguing that here. We're not arguing before this court that respondent has shown that he faces a fear of future persecution, because we don't need to show that. We have a presumption. When there's past persecution, there's a presumption that there's a fear of future persecution. We don't need to show more than that. Rather, the respondent needs to show that country conditions have changed.
Well, and that's the evidence that the immigration judge found, that numerous stations were opened. You heard her tick off that list, that some journalists were intimidated, but not all, that there's no indication of targeting in the State Department report, and in fact, the views of your client are now the views that have generally been adopted by the government.
Number one, Your Honor, that's with the wrong burden of proof. That's putting the burden of proof on petitioner. Had the burden of proof been on the other side, the judge's analysis may have been different. And if the judge applied the wrong burden of proof and he didn't make the service prove that, then the judge may have a different response to his finding of fact. You're saying we didn't, the respondent didn't prove that it's still dangerous. We don't need to prove that it's still dangerous. They need to prove the other way. With regard to no other proof, well, the State Department report states, we say in our brief, Milan Pantic was assassinated, Glasya Novisti, Yerevan Vojan Vunovic, it's all in my brief on page 14. They do mention journalists being assassinated. It's in the State Department report. It was important enough for the State Department to take notice that journalists are still being persecuted there. That's a question of fact for the court to decide when it goes down, as it should. Let me submit the case to be remanded. Thank you, Your Honor.
Court will take the case under advisement. Take a short recess, please.